This is Robert from Twin Peaks, and you're listening to Inspirado Projecto.
Got a light?
Da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, ba-da-ba-ba, ba-ba-da-ba, ba-da-da-ba, ba ba da ba. Bum 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 ba da da da. Oh, this might be that. Here we go. Hello.
Kurt.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Great, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I like the vibrant colors on this car. It seems like it's painted. Looks good, like it's like a painting kind of, almost CGI.
That's spray painted.
Yeah, it's got that look about it. It's got very sleek. It had a team of ILM experts to try just make it look just right. So, what do you like to do outside of Uber?
Play basketball.
Oh, okay. Are you on a team?
I do play on the league, like amateur league in my area.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
How many people play in your league do you know of?
How many teams?
Yeah, let's put it that way. Yeah, how many teams would you say?
Teams, I say, because they have like five divisions.
Oh, okay.
And I think per division, there's at least like 20.
20 teams per division?
Yeah.
And how many divisions?
It's like five.
Wow.
But most of them are, you know, the same people. They just add like big guys or small guys.
So how long have you been doing this?
Uber?
Right under the basketball.
The basketball?
Yeah.
A long time ago. Since high school, I would say. More than 10 years.
And then how long have you been a part of, like, a basketball, league, I guess?
Oh, that's the league. Well, I've been playing basketball since I was a kid.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so the league, you've been doing it for, what did you say, 10 years?
More than 10 years,
I'd say. So, what I'm curious about is, out of, you know, like, there's so many of those teams out there. I'm assuming that there are just tons of teams.
Yeah.
Do you loop back around some of those teams? Do you replay some of those teams?
Yeah.
Are there teams you have yet to play against?
I don't think so.
So you think at this point, throughout that 10 years, you've gone through all of those teams you played against them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Old and young.
That's incredible. So how many games do you play a week, for instance?
For leagues, I usually do like maybe one or two on weekends.
Oh, okay.
But like, I play park too in the park with my dad on weekend mornings.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'd sign like an exercise.
What do you think would be your dream? Like if there's like a billionaire sitting in the car and he's like, what would be your dream and what would be the specific ideal thing that you could be doing right now?
My dream?
Yeah, what would your dream be? Like, what would be your... Would it be to have your own basketball team? Would it be to own a team? Would it be to, I don't know, make a basketball video game? What do you suppose that would be?
I mean, I like to play the game, so I want to be playing the game.
Do you like playing video games?
I do, but I would rather play...
You'd rather play the game?
Yeah.
Rather play basketball?
Yeah.
So just be able to play basketball your whole life?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Have you looked into sponsorships, maybe? That'd be pretty cool.
I mean,
you know, kids do that all the time with their skateboards. They'll just record themselves skateboarding, and they'll send it into some company. Next thing you know, Vans is sponsoring them, giving them free shoes, or, you know, some of these skateboard decks. They just give them these free skate decks. When they break them, okay, we just send them right. We send more to you. Heck, maybe you could do something like that with elbow pads or knee pads or whatever your clothing is.
I need that. You know, I'm getting old. I need all that, so definitely.
You know, there's so many different clever ways to harness the power of contribution with various companies that could you know, where it's a two-way sort of two-way street, because they see that you're good, and they that people appreciate that you know, you're in a sense, you're a mobile billboard for them. You know, you maybe you're wearing their knee pads, you're always talking about them, telling people how good they are. It's so interesting. It's like, have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons back in the day?
I heard about it. I never played it.
So in
it's
that,
like an RPG, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And the, you just do it in your imagination, which is beautiful, because you don't see anything in front of you except maybe a graph paper and kind of where the dungeon is and what you've explored so far. but everybody, it's a great way to harmonize everybody's minds into this particular reality. You know, you're all looking at the same troll that you're battling. You're all looking at the same, you know, dragon or what have you. Yeah. And in your imaginations, you're kind of playing with this. Well, there are certain instances where you'll walk into a room and someone decides to cast a spell to see if there's a secret door. And they go, oh, let's just try it. Let's just see if there's a secret door. And then they find out there's a secret door in there. But they wouldn't have found that secret door if they didn't cast that spell first, you know? So it's interesting how that type of stuff works, where you just test it out and you see what happens, and you never know what kind of gold nuggets you're going to find. But I've been testing things like that through various means and finding, you know, sort of looking around in the shadows to see what can be of benefit, and I've been finding some interesting things.
What do you do?
Actually, where you're taking me, me to my buddy's house, and we got a show tonight. I'm in a yacht rock band called Yachtly Crew. Oh yeah, you're gonna turn left here at this one. Yeah. It's interesting the way that his house is situated. But this is us, and we're playing Viper Room. So the first Friday of every month, we play at Viper Room. So we sing 70s and 80s soft rock songs, like Toto, Michael McDonald, Christopher Cross, Billy Ocean, all the great soft rock classics. And just all love songs, and just good, feel-good vibes. A lot of people call it guilty pleasure music, because they get embarrassed when people hear them singing them out loud. But here you got these room full of people who are just singing unapologetically, putting their arms around each other, and, you know, rocking back and forth and singing the songs. Oh, man, it's so fun. So fun. Couples meet each other on the dance floors and continue to date at our shows. They'll see each other. They keep going to the gym. Oh, man, it's interesting what's happening in all directions. Oh, you're right here. This is perfect. Thank you so much.
All right, sir.
And may all your dreams come true.
Yes, well.
Thanks, man. You take care. And if you got a lunch break, check out.
I'm a really big fan of composing for independent films as well. I like to support new directors, new artists, as well as existing directors and people that are excited about bringing new and fresh ideas to the screen. So, you know, keep me in mind, and I'd be happy to help people out on some film soundtracks, or just keep this conversation going and talking about different things is cool.
He's right now, like out of one of those, like what is it, Dazed and Confused or something. This ride is so kick-ass, dude. It's so it's like a dream come true. This thing is awesome, what you got here. I feel like I'm in a spaceship. This is such a wide window.
Yes, man.
This thing feels so sturdy. It feels like a space bus. I mean, this is crazy, dude. So I want to ask Robin some of these questions, because he's been having awesome success with his band Twin Temple and going to Europe and all this stuff. Oh my God, beautiful view, beautiful view. We're out here in Ventura, right near the beach. In fact, we're headed to the beach to go walking through the sand and checking out that aspect. Man, it's just so neat. It's just so neat how all this is set up. I just love the fact that I moved to California with all these mountains and the ocean. And little did I realize that one day I'd be playing in a yacht rock band that's playing on some of the same stages as bands that have influenced me and excited me through the years. And Robin recently played the Warfield out there in San Francisco, where a lot of bands that you guys recognize played on. And he was just showing me this really kick-ass poster that was created by an artist out there that looks just phenomenal. It's got like a blacklight poster kind of quality about it. And So, Robin, how long has your band been together?
Twin Temple has been around, I think, for 3 years now.
And were you one of the founders of this band?
I was part of. I've been. I mean, I guess you could say I was a founder, but not exactly founder. It's kind of hard to explain. Basically, I was working in some other projects with the same people, and we were going through a lot of different producers, and wound up just deciding to do this new project, and they hit me up about it, these people that I work with, and, well, they already knew I was on board. I was on board.
How many people are in the band?
I think we're a 6-piece band right now.
And so what are some of the various instruments?
At the moment, we are drums, keys, saxophone, guitar, bass, and a female vocal. We're almost there.
And what kind of theme do you guys have?
Satanic doo-wop, actually.
Like doo-wop, like barbershop quartet?
Not like barbershop quartet. More like penguins, you could say. Like, yeah, that genre.
Who else is comparable to penguins? So the at-home viewers can...
Let's jump out of here.
All right.
Oh, actually, you get up first, and then...
He's locking up the car now. There's a great train track going through there. Excellent train track. Standing across the street from a place called Ororco's, which reminds me of the name of Storm from X-Men. Her name is Ororo. And this place is called Ororco's. Ororco's. It's a coffee place. I'm also sitting next to it is this two-story house. It's got such a good look about it. Reminds me of something that you'd see in possibly a haunted house or a horror film. Possibly a horror film. I'm right here by these train tracks. I think this is close to the ocean. This is the closest, I think, that we can get to the ocean, I think. The plan here is to walk to the ocean. Get some toes in the sand. The great thing about his van here is that the windows are tinted. So this is like a, I don't want to say mobile home necessarily. However, it's you could throw a mattress back there. You could, you know, or like a bunk bed or something. Fall asleep in there. A cot. You could change in this thing. You could drive around and, heck, even put one of those ovens that you see in some of the old VW buses, where they got a little oven back there and you can cook up stuff. I'm actually standing next to some purple flowers here. I'm going to take a sniff of this, see what this is all about. Oh my God, that smells good. It smells real good. Oh my God, that smells real good. Oh my God,
that smells real good.
Oh no, don't worry about it.
Trying to find something, and then I put my keys down somewhere.
Do you have your keys?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good, good, good. So who writes the lyrics for your band? Does everybody collaborate on it, or is there pretty much one person?
Mostly Twin Temple is Alexandra and Zachary James. They spearhead the entire project.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of us are more, you would consider, like, side hands, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Players. We all have our part for sure that we
add to the music, but for the most part, Twin Temple is conceived of Alexander and Zachary James.
So they just kind of riff on certain ideas. I mean, do they invite contributions?
Absolutely, yes, indeed.
So if you've got an idea for a riff or something, you could say this to them, hey, here's this idea for a riff.
Oh, sure.
I'm thinking this would be good, and then they could build upon that.
Yeah, we're definitely close enough to pull something like that out. Yeah, for sure.
So you guys, okay, you're telling me that these shows that you were playing in these areas that you've never played before, you were actually selling out these places.
Yes. Well, we sold out one show on our own, which was the Metro in Chicago.
Wow.
It was a smaller room. It was an intimate night with Twin Temple. So there was no other bands on the bill. It was just us. It was only 100 people. Our next show will be in the main room. Can't remember. I think it's in October. It's either October or November. I can't remember the date on that.
Wow. That's insane. I just love that. The Smashing Pumpkins have played there. I've seen Thrill Kill Cult. I've seen so many of the Jellyfish and Guster. I've seen so many great bands, and it's great that you will be playing on that stage. I mean, it's just awesome enough that you just played within that venue. So you went from there. What was the next stop that you went to?
The next stop was St. Vitus in Brooklyn, New York.
So you weren't, just real fast to back it up, you weren't at any other places before Chicago, right? Is that where the tour started?
Tour started in Chicago for us, yes. Exactly.
And so did you drive there? Did you fly there? How does that work with so many people?
Actually, everybody except for myself and the bass player drove out. We flew out.
Okay. So, okay, everyone kind of had their own kind of way that they were getting out there.
Yeah, well, we had both decided to stay back and not have to do the drive.
Right.
So, basically, that's how that worked.
So, Chicago and then Brooklyn. And what interesting things did you notice in Chicago?
In Chicago?
What did you notice in Chicago, or what kind of interesting experiences did you notice while you were there?
You know, honestly, I didn't do a whole lot, but we did get there the night before, and it was so dang cold outside.
Yeah.
It was hard to stand outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Did you find it was also kind of hard to talk? Did you start getting your mouth numb? Did you notice that part, too?
No, I didn't notice that. I don't think I was out long enough for that, but at night, we, you know, wanted something to eat because we flew in at like 7:30 in the evening.
Oh.
And I forget the name of the town that we stayed in because we were outside of Chicago to a cheaper hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so we had stayed a little ways out of Chicago, not far, like maybe 15 minutes or something like that. And it was so cold, we didn't want to go out to get food. Couldn't find anywhere to go.
Oh, man.
So
gosh.
Deep dish pizza, right?
Oh, good.
We're like Chicago right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have some?
We didn't get deep dish, but we wound up getting a pizza that had caramelized cheese crust.
Ooh, good.
And I'll tell you, it was pretty...
Oh, good.
Pretty amazing.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Chicagoans pride themselves on the pizza. Big time, big time, big time.
Yeah, and the next day we had time to kill, so we went to Target because I forgot to pack a beanie and or gloves.
Yeah,
so I'm like, let's go to Target, and then we can hang out in there because it's so cold outside, you know, waiting for the band to come into town. And so we basically spent 2.5 hours in Starbucks at Target staring out at the cold, watching people walk and wondering why they're walking.
My God.
And then we decided, well, it's only 0.9 miles to the venue.
Uh-oh.
Why don't we walk there?
Uh-oh.
So, you know, quick walking. We're fast walkers,
you know? Oh, geez, what happened?
So we did it about 3/4 of the way. I was like,
oh,
this is why people aren't outside walking right now. My toes are getting numb.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love the fact that you took the challenge, though. I love the fact that you're just like, okay, you know what? Man versus nature. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, you went to Brooklyn, and what kind of interesting things did you notice there?
Brooklyn was kind of a whirlwind, to be honest. I did get a slice of pizza. Got to get a slice of pizza when you're in New York.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, we're on pizza.
Yeah,
what is
going
on this pizza
Chicago
tour?
Chicago and New York are like, they rival for who has got the best
pizza.
That's
true. That is true.
It's great that you did that. You got pizza in both places.
Right.
I love it.
Your taste buds were so happy about that.
Yeah, but mostly was just at the venue in Brooklyn. Snowed a little bit that night. That was kind of cool. But, man, what a great show. The St. Vitus was just, it was amazing. It was put on, the night got put on by Revolver magazine. And then we wound up having Loudwire come out and do the whole, who's up here? And do the whole baptism, like satanic baptism thing that we do on stage. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's actually all on film. You can see it on YouTube.
Oh, that's cool.
If you look up St. Vitus, like Loudwire Twin Temple on YouTube or something like that, you should be able to find it.
So I'm getting the idea here that Twin Temple is not just simply a musical experience. It's more of kind of a theatrical kind of experience.
It's very theatrical. Yeah, absolutely.
Without giving away any details, what are some of the fun theatrics you play with?
Fun theatrics? Well, I'm playing the drums, so I get to hit a gong for the rituals.
That's cool. That's great.
Fun. Yeah.
That's an unexpected happening right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
A gong.
Yeah,
How often can you say you go to see a band and they got a gong in the frickin' band? That's awesome.
But it's part of the rituals, though.
Dude.
It's actually part of the rituals.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's great. How many people can say that they've seen bands that have rituals involved?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's great. You guys, it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So you were saying, okay, so after Brooklyn, where was the place where you went and people were singing your songs?
That was actually in Brooklyn.
Okay, that was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, it happened at quite a few shows, but that was like the most, I don't know, you could hear them singing some of the songs.
Incredible.
Back. So of course, it was a smaller room.
It must have been
crazy
the first time you played there, man.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was exciting.
So
humbling.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So, okay, so after Brooklyn, what else did you notice in Brooklyn? Maybe some other stories you might have had.
You know, actually, a really great story that happened to me, just spouting off the top of my head, is that I got to meet our PR for The Orchard, which is a distribution company for music.
Oh, cool, cool.
And that's our distribution company. And my last record deal was with this band called Lemieux LePeur. This is like 10 years ago. We were on TVT Records, which is also was in New York.
And real quick, they're called Lemieux LePeur?
Lemieux LePeur. Have you ever seen Pepe Le Pew?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I love
the
it.
Cat?
Lemieux LePeur.
That's what, instead of meowing, that was the French joke. The
Dude,
cat would say,
brilliant.
Lemieux LePeur.
That's brilliant.
Right?
What a good idea. What a
so,
cool
yeah,
thing.
That was the name of
so
that.
So you met your promo, or your the person who does the PR? Is that what you said? For
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry,
was it the person
say?
Who did the PR for Temple, Twin Temple?
Oh,
or
yes.
The,
yes, yeah. So he's a PR for Twin Temple with, like I said, The Orchard, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this band I was just telling you about, my old band, we left our record deal, and they wound up with our masters, but we never put our record out on that label.
What? So there's
and
a
then,
whole unreleased record?
And then, yeah, and then, well, we put it out ourselves, but we don't actually physically have the masters.
Oh, okay.
So that label folded because of a lawsuit that Pitbull had with them because they were holding the money back.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
he won
boy.
His lawsuit.
You had the same record label that Pitbull had?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, TVT Records.
TVT, I've heard of those guys. Nine Snails used to be a part of them, didn't
they? Yes, sir. Yep, that's right. With Steve Gottlieb,
Wait, are we going this way?
Oh, yeah, we're going this way.
So TVT, now it's folded?
Yeah,
I remember
TVT
seeing the...
Years ago. Years
Broken, ago. The Broken EP was on TVT. I remember seeing that. You know, and it like TVT was it always resonated in my brain as Nine Inch Nails, you know, there's their company. So that's so interesting. You guys were on there,
yeah,
and they folded. And did you get your rights back to your music? Did you get your masters?
So here's what happened. So when the label went bankrupt, I guess The Orchard wound up with the TVT catalog. And we've been trying for years, and I don't actually have a super happy ending to the story, but it was a happy moment for me that night. Not yet. Hopefully I will have
happy
news
great.
For you.
So it was sort of an epiphany, because you meet this person who's connected with it.
Yeah, you're getting it.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah, so I didn't even ask this guy. I just happened to mention. I was like, oh, you're at The Orchard. I was like, man, we've been trying to get our masters back from there, you know,
to
this other band. And he just straight up says, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but I'll try to get it for you.
Oh, my
you
God.
And
I love that.
It was that very
what
happy moment.
What a magic moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and there was a great burlesque show that night. It was pretty cool. It was all, you know, like demonic.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. I also have got to mention, we just passed the Bombay, which is the second show that Yachtly Crew ever played. So it's neat for me to see us walking through here. Dude, oh, that's right, right. That's where you guys started working. That's right. Dude, that's amazing.
You were probably the first one to greet me and say hello.
Dude, that is so cool to hear.
I appreciated that.
Wow, man, you're welcome. I always think it's important to talk, you know, meet who you're collaborating with. And wow, you weren't kidding. Spring Wine Walk today. Holy cow. So you think we're going to have some of these stragglers coming on into the
Discovery Yeah, I think it's probably over now. I mean, it probably just ended. But that's all right.
I'm sure they'll probably want an after party.
Because the coffee's up here.
Oh, yeah.
And
coffee's
the ice cream if you want to get some ice cream
yeah.
up here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, after Brooklyn, you went to, I mean, well, first of all, I want to rewind back to this awesome moment in time where you met the guy who's, you know, connected with Orchard, and the fact that you're like, oh my gosh, I've got this true connection now to my
masters. Oh, and
I'm going to
be hanging out with him in Tilburg in the Netherlands here just this week.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
When are you going to the Netherlands?
I think we're in the Netherlands on Thursday.
Twin Temple's going to be there?
Yeah, I think it's Thursday. Yeah, Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
when did you get back from this other tour?
So, the last tour, we got back 3 weeks ago, and then
you're
we
going
leave
on
Monday.
Another one.
Yeah, so we leave Monday, and we're flying into London and then driving to Paris for our first show in Paris.
What the heck? This is crazy. This is crazy. Okay, so, geez, there's so many questions. Okay, we might as well go back to this one. After Brooklyn, where'd you go after that?
After Brooklyn is when we jumped on the co-headlining tour of Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats and the Graveyard, and it started in Philadelphia.
Okay, and then the poster that they were using for that whole thing was that really kick-ass poster that you just showed me.
No, that was just for the Warfield.
Okay.
That's a special poster.
Okay, specifically for that show.
Yeah. Yes.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was a tour poster as well, but. But yeah, that was just for that night.
So, what did you notice? What did you like most in this in the third place? In the you know some of the stories surrounding the third place that you played at.
Some of the stories?
Yeah. What are some of the interesting things you came across?
Interesting things. Most interesting thing was probably at the Warfield, which is in San Francisco.
A Yachtly Crew postcard is laying on the ground.
Oh, yes.
A Yachtly Crew postcard is laying on the ground. This is incredible. Somehow it ended up way over here.
I have a feeling.
Yeah. That maybe some of our people is around. Yeah, that might be. That is a Spangler move right there. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Absolutely.
Well, now he's inspired me to leave one in here. You know, I just leave them in little spots like that. So people go up to the ATMs. They're like, hey, what's that now?
I guess we can walk in the street.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, man, we're wine people. Anything goes. Oh, is that the stage you were referring to?
Yeah.
That would be fun to play at the wine festival at some point for Yachtly Crew. It makes sense, man. I mean, it makes so much sense. This is great. Wow, dude. This town is great, man. It's got that old... Wow.
Missed that, unfortunately.
Incredible. So, okay. So what did you notice in that third place? What was the... I'm sorry, I cut you off. Yeah, that's right, in San Francisco.
Yeah, the coolest.
Because you were saying that's a historic place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jimi Hendrix played there.
Oh,
everybody played there.
Dude, yeah. Did you please tell me you soaked in those vibes that you let that revelation strike you with like,
you know,
holy shit, Jimi Hendrix was on this stage. I mean, did that explode your brain?
Oh yeah, super.
Oh my God, dude.
But I would say like. The coolest, ice cream or coffee?
Oh, sure.
Or both.
Let's do it. Do they have coffee here, too?
They just might. Or
yeah,
Starbucks is right there.
Oh, yes. They're very true. Very true.
Let's see. So where were we?
So Warfield. Yes.
I'll give you a whole, rundown. So we get there, and this guy greets us. Older guy, hippie, you know. Wearing the tie-dye shirt the whole bit.
Awesome.
Total deadhead looking guy, you know. Classic.
Does he run the place? Is he like the manager? Is he like the groundskeeper?
You know, honestly, I don't know what his role was there.
Right,
I have
right.
no idea what his role was there other than helping with everything.
Oh my
you know?
God.
Like, yeah, he was just super awesome. But so we got greeted by him, which is amazing. We set up for sound check, and then the guy that was running the monitors on stage came out, and he rung out all the monitors, and he literally did a 5-minute comedy bit that had us on the floor.
Oh my God.
Checking the monitors. It was amazing.
Oh
like, that's
God,
how
I
we were
it.
Greeted to this venue.
Oh,
like,
cool.
It was just like the coolest thing after the coolest thing. And then this guy that makes front of house, his name's Crackamaya. He's like, you can call me Crack, you know?
Crack-a-maya.
He looks like the straight edge dude with like tons of tattoos, you know? And super nice guy, man. And the sound was just so amazing, you know? It was just, whoa, really, really neat experience. And then later in the night, this was our last night on the tour, so we were all bonding the groups together. And that guy that greeted us in the beginning of the night also actually helped us load our gear out and put it back into our vehicle for us.
Oh, my God.
And so anyways, he winds up giving us a tour. And let me just paint another picture. The room downstairs, this is like in the basement of the Warfield where all the dressing rooms were. And there was this big area where you could all hang out. And they had some video games in there that you could play. And
like a green room of sorts? Or?
Yeah, like a green room, exactly. But it was a pretty good-sized room. The table, you know, if they're going to have catering, that's where the catering would be. And they had vegetables and stuff on there, of course. But anyways, at the end of the night, we're all hanging out down there taking a big group photo. And he has a room, apparently, down there. This guy that helped us in, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. But anyways, he has a disco ball going, and he's playing disco music.
And this room
like
with,
whatever.
With the video games and stuff?
It's actually a room that connects to it. So there's a doorway that goes in.
So he had like his little secret room of karaoke.
He lived in there, you know?
Oh my God.
It's like he lived in there. And so, anyways, he starts playing this music, and he's, like, hanging out, having a beer. He's like, yeah, bro, this is my little party in that time, you know? I just got off work. And then he's like, oh, so who said that they wanted to see the speakeasy? And I was like, what speakeasy? And I just took off with two other guys from Uncle Acid from the Deadbeats, the lead singer and the bass player. And, yeah, he just started giving us this amazing tour.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. I just can't believe that I didn't pull my phone out and video the whole damn thing. I blew
it. What the heck? What were some of the strange things that you encountered while he was showing you around?
So the name of the venue is The Baghdad, right? And you could tell by some of the artwork that it was, you know, Middle Eastern themed, right?
Oh.
But there was this room that I guess he was telling us that he used to mix Jerry Garcia, which he loved to play there, like, all
oh
the time.
God. Whoa.
In the speakeasy. And there was bullet holes in the wall, I guess, from the security guards in the 80s.
They would just go down there and shoot their guns in the basement?
Yeah, they'd just go down there and shoot their guns in the basement.
Like, it's lunchtime, I'm going to go shoot my guns.
Oh,
so there's two of you. Okay, so sorry. Sorry, ladies, we didn't realize what was happening. This, wake and no bake, that sounds nice to me. Yeah. Huh? Oh, these are the different sizes?
Yeah.
Let's try one of these. That sounds good. What do you think you're going to get?
I'm not going to get any ice cream.
Oh, you're not?
No,
you're just here for
you. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
Absolutely.
Miss, do you mind if you send me coffee here? I know it's a silly question. Do you have coffee?
I'll get you coffee. We're going to go to Starbucks.
Oh, dude, awesome.
Yeah. I'll get
you
ice cream,
baby.
Too.
What? Are you kidding me? I appreciate this, man. Thank you so much. We went on a journey.
Thanks for coming, man. I'm just cruising my neighborhood.
It was great to explore.
I literally grew up here. Like, this is my
really?
Yeah.
So no wonder you just automatically knew where to go and how to get there and what to do. Oh, my God. I'm like, well, we're just turning down the streets, but you knew about where to go the whole time. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. So sophisticated. That's okay. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whoa, man. So while you were down there, What was what? You were saying something about a secret room that would, like, it had, like, different shaped walls or something?
Yeah, there was this room that had, there was, it was just all different shapes every which and every way for recording. And a lot of artists like to go down there and record.
What, did he say, like, what albums or anything, or what artists?
He didn't say, actually. If he did, I do not remember. I may have had too many beers that night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I said, I wish I had documented the whole thing.
Oh, man.
If I thought of it in the beginning.
So you're pretty much just experiencing it as it was unfolding.
Yeah,
was just like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like he was pretty fast with the tour. Like he,
oh yeah,
like he had so many.
It was a lot so of much, information, man.
It sounds like it.
A lot
like,
of information. Every single room was just full of information.
Oh my God.
This is what happened here, and this is so and so, and blah blah blah. I mean, it was just.
Do you get the idea that he was there for a very long time?
Very long time. Yeah, he said he was mixing Jerry Garcia in that room downstairs.
And it's
he had
insane.
A board that was actually under the stage that he would be on. And we're talking a small stage, so I don't know what the hell is going on.
So he'd have to. Oh my God,
you know
really?
What I mean?
So yeah. There's like a secret little cubby hole for him.
Something, yeah.
To
yeah.
try to do the sound from beneath the stage?
He'd go down there and come out. And,
what a unique experience.
Yeah, very unique, for sure.
Oop,
this
oh,
one, sorry.
So that's totally not something that you guys were used to at all.
I think I know. I think
did you see this?
That you know where
to go. Oh, yeah. Thank you. So you being at the at Bombay, you were like, wow, I was very fortunate to not have to, like, crawl under a stage to do sound.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's just nuts. Exactly. Being under a stage to make sound. How do you even mix something like that correctly? I mean, you'd have to have a really good ear to be able to do something like that, huh? As he was telling you, were you, like, sitting there going, okay, could I do this? You know, like, was there that idea of, like...
No, I think I was just mesmerized by the
whole thing. Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Just taking it in, you know?
Oh, my God.
It was wild. It was a trip. He took us down to the boiler room. John Carpenter filmed something
what?
Down there. He didn't tell me what to do, but...
I saw that video there. It looked awesome.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
The boiler room.
What if it was, like, a... Oh, no, that's right, Wes Craven. I was going to say, what if that was, like, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, right.
Right? Because yeah, there are those words, totally. Like, Freddy's like, nah!
That would totally make sense, yeah. That would totally make sense.
That place looked really cool. It had, like, a David Lynch look about it.
Right? Oh, I think he said David Lynch
no,
did something.
No, no.
Yeah.
Dude, he loves that kind of industrial
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I think he did.
He loves industrial.
Yeah, I was super...
Like, pipes and... So you, Did you get any ideas for shooting videos for,
for Twin Temple?
Yeah, down there.
Honestly, didn't think about it, but it can definitely...
Heck.
Well, I don't know.
That guy sounds very accommodating, too.
So amazing. So stinking.
He sounds like he's just so happy to share the information with you.
Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, it was super great.
Do you remember what his name was? I could do some research.
What his name is off the top of my head. That's what I was saying earlier. I don't remember his name. I'd have to ask another one of my mates.
Ah.
I'm so bad at that. I'm the worst at that. I'll just take a grande pipe piece with room, please. What do you have?
Whatever. Just a large regular coffee, please.
Large coffee as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of course.
You need room?
Oh my God, it's so delicious.
Room or no room?
Oh, no room.
All right.
No room in the large one?
No.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything else for you guys?
That's it.
Perfect. You're going to be at 5:10 today. How is your guys'
stay
going?
Oh, fun.
It's going fabulous.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're playing over Discovery. Oops, that's not it.
Nice.
We're playing Discovery Ventura later. There it is.
Awesome. Oh.
So that's us guys.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you need a receipt?
No, that's okay.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your night, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow.
Thank
you,
sir.
Mmm. Oh, my God. Mm.
What else do you remember from the Warfield archives?
I remember meeting a woman that looked like a friend of mine that I could just see if
whoa.
She was that age.
Like a doppelganger?
I mean? Yeah, but it would be like an older version, you know?
Mm.
And her personality and everything was
whoa.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of a trip.
I love when you come across stuff like that.
Cool,
it's so neat.
I was with my best friend who I've been with forever. He's my bass player in the band. We've been playing music together since we were, like, we learned how to play music together since we were, you know, very
wow.
Yeah, he's been my best friend since. We've been friends since we were five. He's been my best friend since.
Oh my god.
Might as well say a whole time.
Oh my god.
No point in telling. But yeah.
And you get to be in a band.
Yeah.
With an old friend of yours.
Yeah, we've been in many bands together.
What,
You want to sit down somewhere?
What do I?
Oh, your dumb dry
oh,
you're
yeah,
just
yeah.
Pounding that.
Oh my god, that was so delicious.
Was it?
Right. Oh my god, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We're on the
move. So, your friend, he's the guy. Now, is he, you mentioned two names earlier of people who are like the impetus of the band. Is your friend.
We're gonna go back.
Is your friend one of those people? Or is he someone that you brought on along with the project?
He's actually done other stuff with that as well. I would love to think that I brought him on. I'm sure me being in the group definitely impacted that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was more of, I don't even remember if I mentioned him doing it, but I think they just asked him if he wanted to do it. So I don't know how much of a role I actually had other than being his friend and being a part of the project.
So was this something like the two of you kind of like joined around at the same time, would you say?
Well, when it started, yeah. I mean, as far as that's
gotcha.
Concerned. But I guess it's hard to explain, but I had been doing, basically working with them too for years now.
Oh, okay.
Like exclusively doing stuff with them. So all the projects we were doing. And that's just what it morphed into.
It's so interesting to hear how the process of this kind of stuff, you know, happens along. Now, what other...
We were doing a like a soul band before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so the progression was just kind of natural because, like, they're into Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexandra, like, the whole time I've known her has rocked a King Diamond t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, forever. And so I was like, well, how do we cross over, like, into that market, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, and so, oh, ding, like, satanic doo-wop. No one's ever done that before.
Brilliant.
Right? Although I think you could argue that...
Oh. Which way are we going?
I know. Where do we go?
Help
so
me.
Confused.
I'm walking in the middle of the street right now. Help me. I've lost my mind.
Is that a red light? Can I cross the street right
I'm
now?
I'm going against the law of pedestrians right now. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Which way am I going? I'm walking on the left side of the street, in the middle of the street. Help me, dear Jesus.
Oh, my God. Are we jaywalking? Right
now? I know. Please, I feel like we're JKLMNOP walking right now. We're all over the place. We're drawing like hieroglyphics in cursive right now. It's amazing.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. I love it when towns do this. You can just walk randomly through the streets. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. You're like, okay, here we'll do a cartwheel. Kids love it because then they're like, okay, I can chase that ball on the street and not worry about getting hit by a car.
Yeah, and then you're just like, look at me.
Yeah, look at me. I'm doing it. I'm riding a bicycle backwards.
With my nose.
With my nose.
That was possible.
I'm riding a bicycle backwards with my nose. That's good. That's good.
I
didn't even know that was possible. It's happening. Sometimes you just cannot stop surreality from happening before your eyes. Isn't that funny? You can't fight against it. You just might as well just give into it and just encourage it to be even more surreal.
Just take that plunge.
Just do it. Plunge right in. Plunge right in.
It's only a cliff. Why don't you jump?
You know what's so crazy? The California Adventure Visitor Center, it's interesting because, like,
I've seen that sign on buses, on the internet, all over the place, and it's brilliant because it's flipped upside down.
Yeah.
So kick-ass, so cool.
Yeah,
reminds me of the Angels and Demons cover. And
there you go.
The Ventura. Like, what's so interesting is I have sent so many different, like, press releases and stuff for Yachtly Crew to the Ventura, like, the official Ventura website, and they put those up on the events, and I've just gotten such a kick out of seeing it happen. It's like, wow, they're accepting this.
Good, how are you?
Good.
It was only a matter of time until you met someone that you knew out here in the streets walking around.
That's how it is in Ventura, right?
I was my God, it's hour, and I was
I
like,
know, I've never asked someone. I came out with
is it first time ever?
I have a friend.
No, I'm from
town.
Here.
Oh,
but
stop.
I haven't lived here.
Hi.
It's
Johanna.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
You're
about to leave. Hi, I'm Brianna.
Hi.
Brianna, this is
I'm Stony Shores. Pleasure to meet you. Here, look at this is the pleasure to meet you. We're playing tonight at Discovery Ventura.
Oh, we should walk.
Those wise guys. How did you know? How did you know about Yachtly Crew?
Well, you said Stony Shores, and I just put two and two together. And Bombay. But also, I've heard a lot about this band.
Oh, my God. We used to play
at
Bombay all the time. That's how we met.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. We were just talking about that.
Discovery tonight.
Discovery.
Yeah.
You guys ever play on Fridays? Because, like, tomorrow's, like, my Monday morning.
Oh,
so, like,
God,
for me, like, yeah, that's why we're about to leave. Because it's one of those things where
you're out of here.
Last night was the Viper.
Oh, well,
yeah, last night was Viper.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I'll have to look you guys up because I've heard a lot. It's like a cover band, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Love songs, all like
yeah,
all soft rock.
Great.
Not
rock.
Heard.
Oh,
you
love it.
Yeah, it's like this new genre that's sweeping the nation.
She moved up to Stockton, old friend of mine. She hasn't been down here in years.
Oh, wow.
Has nothing to do with being here. So if you go on, like, Pandora or any of your
there's like an XM radio satellite radio
yacht rock.
Uh-oh,
it's actually a radio
going
station.
Right there, and that's my car. We're
not
but that's the little that's the stage we used to play on right there.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar.
Hope you're
so
fun. Part of a podcast right now.
Nice. Well,
yeah.
Have a good night.
You're
nice
living in the future.
I
bye.
Hope to see you soon.
Okay, great.
Bye, Brianna.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out.
Nice to meet you.
Take care. Walk carefully. You never know what's going to happen in these streets. Will you find a leprechaun hiding in your bushes? You never know. You have no idea.
And that's the scary part about it.
That is, yeah. Yeah.
It is, because you don't want to run into one of them.
No, you don't. You
not
don't.
Really. You don't quite know
they're
what
like an endangered
of
species.
Oh,
that was great. I love it. Those girls are dancing like with bunny ears, and this girl with the dog just started laughing about it. It was great. She saw that I was laughing about it. She started laughing about it. Oh man, isn't it interesting the little interactions you share with strangers
that's
just out there in this? It's great, dude.
Were we just talking about leprechauns?
Oh yeah, absolutely we were. Oh, it's a leprechaun.
Did you see one?
Well, heck, I might have accidentally stepped on one for all I know. I know.
Let's
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
Let's not do that.
Did you happen to see that? It's free on YouTube. It's called Hellier. Did you hear about this?
About Hellier?
These little goblins in a town called Hellier, Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
I have not heard of this.
It's fun. It's
Was
very interesting. Yeah, it's all on YouTube. It's like seven episodes, and they're about 25 minutes a piece. And these people received a very interesting email, and they decided to go off in search of finding what the heck this email is all about. And the guy emails, there's a group, there's a guy and his girlfriend. They're kind of like a Mulder and Scully kind of team, and they always like to go out, cryptozoology type of things, ghosts, UFO sightings, Sasquatch, all that kind of fun stuff. So they end up getting a message from a guy saying, hey, can you please help me out. I've got these goblins that I've only lived here in Hellier for 6 months, and they've been bothering me and my family, and they live in the caves and the mines, and they come up and they bother us. So the guy was like, well, you need to send me some evidence of this. You know, you got to send me some pictures or something. So they sent back, they emailed back these little three-toed footprints in the mud. These little tiny three-toed feet running little footprints in the mud. And so then he sent back to him. He's like, okay, this is really cool. Do you have any pictures of, like, what they look like or anything?
Yeah.
So then about 3 months pass, he gets another email from the guy, and the guy goes, sorry, I had to move. You know, it was getting so bad I had to move. But now they found me again. So now they're terrorizing me again. I'll try to get some photos. So he gets photos of these very blurry photos.
They're following him now.
Yeah. And they're, so there's all these rabbits. Did you see this? These rabbit ladies. Did you see this? There were rabbit ladies over there earlier. Now there's rabbit ladies here. Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Rabbits are known to drink wine.
So I've been told.
Yes. So it's interesting. So they decide to go. So he takes a picture and you see these blurry photos of this creature that's kind of like poking its head around a corner. And he decides to go out there with his fiance and a bunch of other, and four or five other people, and investigate this. And they end up coming across more and more mysterious stuff and uncovering a lot of crazy stuff. It's so interesting to see the journey that they go through in trying to discover these little goblin creatures. It's mind-bending. What are your thoughts about, like, supernatural creatures?
I don't know. I like to think that they exist just because it's kind of, like, fun.
Yeah, it's fun to think about.
Sort of scary, which is, like, exciting.
Yeah.
And, but do they exist? How the hell do I know?
That's true.
I've never
That's
seen
true.
One.
Oh, wait, real quick. These are restrooms? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Are these restrooms?
Yes,
okay.
They are. Right?
I'm going to use one
side.
Of them. Oh, there's one on the other side.
Yes, you're right.
I think I'm going to use one of these.
Okay, I'll be right out here.
I'll be back. I'll be back. We're signing off for now.
Here's your fun fact. Did you know that if you reduced your daily calorie intake by 25%, it leads to improved mood, reduced tension, and a higher sex drive? Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
Check. Got the reverb on there too. That's awesome. Thank you. Hey. Shoot. Yep. Check. Two.
Cleaner?
Great. Yeah. Much cleaner. Thank you.
So
awesome.
If you guys want to hear Phil's vocals, use the one that says Phil IEM, not lead. Leads for that mix.
Oh!
Hey, check, two.
Thank you!
Check, two. Check, two. Okay, good. What else do you need, Chris? Anything?
Saxophone.
Sax, please.
Did we get that?
Two.
I got it.
Really good. Tommy, can I see your vocals real quick?
Check, 8. It's our vocal. Check, 8. 2.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, check.
Yeah. Hey. All right, Rob, we're ready for a song, buddy.
We're ready for a song.
What do you want to do?
Have you got an idea? Have you got a song? Have you got a poem? Have you got an haiku? Have you got a laundry list? Have you got something cool that you want to share with the world? Send it on in. Call up 561-203-9179er. All right, that number once again is 561-203-9179er. What was that in it? Was 561-203. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm John Hudson from the Dark Lady Players, and we believe that the plays of William Shakespeare were actually written by a black Jewish woman called Amelia Bassano Lanier. This is a very revolutionary theory, but it's beginning to make sense. She was, after all, England's first published woman poet. She wrote a book in 1611 called Salve Deus, and she was also mistress to the man in charge of the English theatre. What's more, we've found her signatures on 7 of the plays. This is real.